Chapter 12, verses 15 to 27. If the foot would say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with great honor. And our less respectful members are treated with greater respect. Whereas our more respectful members do not need this, but God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. A word from our Holy Scripture. So, just to give you a bit of history from Pride, because it's Pride Month. So June is Pride Month. Many of us in the LGBTQ2S+ are either excited to celebrate being our true selves, to protest discrimination with a march, or to remember those of us who created the Pride movement to begin with. The ones who fought for equal rights, for acceptance, and the right to be who we are publicly and safely. Those who inspired many of us to continue their work today. We also recognize the allies we have, who see us as an equal part of the community, an equal part of the body of Christ. I'd like to give you a brief history of Pride Month and why having it in June is so important, and it's not because of the nice weather. The history of the Pride Parade and movement actually started back on June 28, 1969, when the patrons of a New York City bar called the Stonewall Inn fought back against a discriminatory police raid. At the time, homosexuality was a crime. Men could be arrested for wearing drag, and women faced the same punishment if they were found wearing less than three pieces of feminine clothing. When the police arrived at the bar to start arresting people, the 200 patrons inside rioted. There are a few theories of who began the riot, but most of the participants remember it was Marsha P. Johnson, a black, transgender, bisexual woman who was the first to throw a shot glass at a police officer, which began the fight. This led to days of rioting and protesting in the Greenwich area of New York City. It was one of the most publicized protests in LGBTQ2S+ history. The first Pride Parade was held on the one-year anniversary of the Stonewall riots, as a sign of remembrance, resistance, and justice for the LGBTQ2S+ community. As the years have gone by, Pride has become commercialized and whitewashed, with Marsha's name rarely spoken. It is why today I am sharing this history with you all. Marsha's story echoes many of those who spoke up against discrimination and injustice in society they live in. There's another person of color in particular that comes to mind who stood up for the poor, the sick, the hungry, and the outcasts. He caused an uproar, broke laws, and paid the ultimate sacrifice on the cross. His message was to love one another. And I think part of loving one another is to understand one another. It is with that in mind that we are doing this activity today. Hence the stars. Before we start this activity, I just want to put a warning out there that it deals with some heavy subject matter. This is a safe, non-judgmental space, so that any time this activity is too much, so it's totally okay. Please feel free to get up and quietly leave the sanctuary, but know that you are more than welcome to come back and join us afterwards if you feel up for it. And I think Jody will be out in the lobby there if you need anything. So with that, let's begin this activity called Coming Out the Stars. So everyone can hold their stars out in front of them. Imagine the star represents your world, with you in the center, and those things or people most important to you at each point of the star. Look at the point of the star that says friend. Imagine who this would be. Choose a friend who is very close to you, someone you care about very much, a best friend, or close friend, it doesn't matter. Next, look at the point of the star that says community, and think of a community that you belong to. It could be this church, your neighborhood, a club, or just a group of friends. Now, while looking at the family point of a star, think of a specific family member. Someone that you have always turned to for advice, or maybe who knows how to cheer you up when you're sad. A mother, father, aunt, uncle, or someone who has had that role in your life. Any family member or nurturer who has made such a large impact for you. Let's now take a look at the career point. What job would you most like to have? It could be anything from what you already do to what you have done in the past or would you like to do beyond imagination, that dream job. Lastly, let's take a moment to reflect on the point that holds your hopes and dreams. What are they? Maybe you want to be a millionaire. Maybe you want to volunteer with animals or the homeless. Or maybe you want to travel the world. What would those be? Now that you have your whole world in your hands, we're going to imagine that you are all gay and lesbian youth. You have tried to keep this to yourself, but you have decided that it is time to come out and live your life as your true self. You decide that it will be easiest to tell your friends first, since they have always been there for you in the past and feel they need to know. If you have a blue star, your friend has no problem with it. They have suspected for some time now, and thank you for being honest with them. Luckily, they act no different towards you and accept you for who you are. You do not need to do anything to your star. If you have an orange or a purple star, your friends are kind of hesitant. They are a little irritated that you have waited so long to tell them, but you are confident that soon they will understand that being gay or lesbian is just part of who you are. You just need to give them some time. Please fold back only the half of the point of the friend star. Friend point, sorry. If you have a red star, you are met with anger and disgust. This friend who has been by your side in the past tells you that being gay or lesbian is wrong and they can't associate with anyone like that. If you have a red star, please fold back the whole friend point of your star. This friend is no longer in your life. With most of you having such good luck with your friends, you decide your family probably deserves to know. So you turn to your closest family member first so that it will be a little easier. If you have a purple star, the conversation does not go exactly how you planned. Several questions are asked and as to how this could have happened. But after some lengthy discussion, this person who is close to you seems to be a little bit more at ease with it. Fold half of your family point back, as they will be an ally, but only with time. If you have a blue star, you are embraced by this family member. They are proud that you have decided to come out and let you know that they will always be here to support you. You do not need to do anything to your star. If you have an orange or red star, your family member rejects the thought of you being related to a person who is gay or lesbian. Much like some of your friends, they are disgusted, and some of you are thrown out of your house or even disowned. You are now part of the 42% of homeless youth who identify as gay or lesbian. If you have an orange or red star, please hold back the whole family point of the star. Having told your friends and family, the wheels have started to turn, and soon members of the community begin to become aware of your sexual orientation. If you have a purple or blue star, your sexual orientation is accepted by your community, They continue to embrace you like anyone else, and together you celebrate the growing diversity in your community. You do not need to do anything to your star. If you have an orange star, you're met with a mixed response. Some accept you, and some don't know what to think. You remain part of the community, and with time, will fit in as you once did. If you have an orange star, please fold back half of the community point. If you have a red star, your community reacts with hatred. They tell you that someone like you doesn't belong in their community. Those who had supported you in your times of need no longer speak to you or acknowledge you. If you have a red star, please fold back the whole community point. You have heard rumors have started circulating at work regarding your sexual orientation. In the past, you have made it a point to confront these rumors as soon as they began, but now you're not sure if that will do more harm than good. But unfortunately, you don't have the chance. If you have a blue star, your coworkers begin to approach you and let you know that they have heard the rumors and that they don't care. They will support you. Your bosses react the same way, letting you know that you do good work, and that's all that matters. You do not need to do anything to your star. If you have a purple star, your workplace has become quite interesting. Everyone seems to think that you are gay or lesbian, even though you haven't mentioned it to anyone or confirmed any of the rumors. Some people speak to you less, but the environment has not seemed to change too drastically. If you have a purple star, please fold back half of the career point. If you have a red or orange star, you continue to work as though nothing is happening, ignoring the rumors that have spread throughout your workplace. One day you come in to find that your office has been packed up. You are called into your boss's office, and she explains that you are being fired. When you ask why, she tells you that lately your work has been less than satisfactory and that she has to make some cutbacks in your area. If you have a red or orange star, please fold back the whole career point. Now your future lies ahead of you as a gay man or lesbian. Your hopes and dreams, your wishes for the perfect life, for some of you, these are all that remain. If you have a purple, blue, or orange star, these hopes and dreams are what keep you going. Most of you have been met with some sort of rejection since the beginning of your coming out process, but you have managed to continue to live a happy and healthy life. Your personal hopes and dreams become a reality. If you have a red star, you fall into despair. You have been met with rejection after rejection, and you find it impossible to accomplish your lifelong goals without the support and love of your friends and family. You become depressed, and with nowhere else to turn, many of you begin to abuse drugs and alcohol. Eventually, you feel your life is no longer worth living. If you have a red star, please crumple up your star. You are now part of the 40% of suicide victims who are gay or lesbian. Let's take a breath. It's pretty heavy. Let's take a moment and look at each other's stars, or lack of stars. For those of you with stars left, how are you feeling about those with no stars? Those without stars, how are you feeling about those with stars still intact? Let's take a moment to reflect on these thoughts.
Is my mic on? Before we do the reflection, we're actually going to watch a video from Hillhurst United Church. If you went to the first sessions we had a few months ago, you might have seen this video, but yeah, attended an affirming church and what it meant to them, and that we might be and we are a welcoming church, but it's not always the same as being an affirming church and affirming different identities. So June is, the theme is community for this month, and community is defined as a feeling of fellowship with others as a result of sharing common attitudes, interests, and goals. Some people find the sense of community with a group of friends, a religious community, a neighborhood, a family, or work. It can make an individual feel less lonely, and it can bring an individual joy, but ultimately, a community is a safe space for everybody. We rely on these spaces. In the previous activity, we learned what our lives might look like if an integral part of our identity meant that we couldn't rely on the communities that we place dearest to us. It could mean being backed into a very dark place in our lives, a place that can be difficult to escape from, impossible in some cases. That being said, most of us don't experience this level of oppression in our everyday lives. This is where identity privilege comes in. Identity privilege is known as any unearned benefit or advantage one receives in society by nature of their identity. Some examples of aspects of identity that can afford privilege are race, religion, gender identity, sexual orientation, class or wealth, ability, or citizenship status. For example, if you are a lesbian, transgender, Muslim, disabled immigrant of color who lives under the poverty line, your life may prove to be more difficult than that of an upper-class, white, straight, Christian man. This does not mean that white people or men or straight people or whatever don't face challenges in their lives. That would be a silly thing to say. It just means that none of the challenges that they do face will have to do with those parts of their identity, their race, their gender, their sexuality. Reflect on these parts of your identity. Regardless of what they are, would your life be more difficult if those you surround yourself with reject you because of it? Does it seem unfair for your family or friends to reject you for aspects of your life that are entirely out of your control? Hopefully the answer is yes. By acknowledging the privilege that we have, we can begin to act in a way that can dismantle said privilege. However, keep in mind, acknowledging your privilege does not need to translate into guilt about things that you may have been born into. If we inherit injustice, we should never feel guilty. We're not responsible for that past. However, if we choose to do nothing about it going forward, then we have plenty to feel guilty about. So how do we go about dismantling this privilege? Start by simply listening to those who do not share the same identity about how this affects their life. Listening is the root of justice, after all. Demand that your workplace, church, or other structured environments ensure inclusion and equity at every level. Finally, show empathy. Include those who may have been kicked out of their communities into your communities. Radiate love to every person you encounter, and do your best to make room for and foster a safe space for the marginalized in your own circles. As the scripture said today, we should treat the oppressed with special modesty and great honor, so that all of us may have equal concern for one another. In other words, that all of us may demonstrate empathy to one another.
One of the most difficult things in a church is overcoming some of our beliefs that we were raised with in the church, our faith beliefs. So this coming Tuesday is the second of our LGBTQ2S+ sessions on what does the Bible say. If you haven't taken that in and you want to discuss that, that will be this Tuesday night here in the chapel at 6:30. And take advantage of that if you're struggling with what the Bible might say about our LGBTQ+ communities. In the spirit of community, we pray for those who do not have the advantages we do. So let's join together in prayer. You will see that we're using the paraphrase